Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Ortega. I'm a counselor-turned-coach bringing you faith-based resources, insights, and strategies to help you live that walk-on-water adventure God called you to. Find more information at theuncommoncareer.com. Hey, friends. Welcome back. Today, we're talking to Bridget Lynch. Bridget's a life coach at In the Light Coaching, and she helps women who have experienced trauma to move on, to overcome, and to experience new seasons. She's been a nurse since 2010, spending 8 of those years as a hospice nurse in the trenches during the most critical end-of-life moments. Today, she shares how God redeemed her from her own trauma, then guided her to help one by one, and is now moving her into helping many. Listen in to learn how God might be moving in your life, bit by bit, just like he's moved in the life of Coach Bridget. Well, hi, Coach Bridget. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm super excited to have you on board. And I know there's going to be tons of topics that we go into. But before we go into those topics, share a little bit about yourself with our community.
So the most important thing that I love to tell people is that I am a follower of Christ. That's the most prominent thing in my life, the thing that I talk about the most. If you get to know me, you hang out with me 5 minutes, you know that I love Jesus. So
amen.
First and foremost, the most important thing. And then I'm a wife of a firefighter, and I am the mother of two sweet boys. There is an 8-year age gap in there, and that's part of my story. So that's kind of challenging at times. And then I have a fur baby. We love our golden doodle. And I have been a nurse for a long time. I have my own business, and there are a lot of new things happening in my life right now. And so it's exciting and challenging all at the same time.
Tell us a little bit about this, because you mentioned a new business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So God just really has been working on my heart for a long time to help women. And for the longest time, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can handle that. I can help women. That's cool. And so anytime God brought someone into my life, whether it was a single mom and she needed help with something, we helped one of my good friends through nursing school. She has 3 kids. She's a single mom. I mean, anytime that God presented one person to us, we're like, okay, so we can't help everybody, but we can help the one, right, that comes to us. And so my husband is totally on board with these things too, because he knows my heart and he knows how much I love people and want to help people. And so, you know, it just has always been at my heart. And my mom will tell you that too. She's like, ever since you were a little girl, you know, I've always wanted to help. You've always wanted to help people. And so I took care of my grandmother when she was elderly. And so it's just in my heart to help others. And I think that comes a lot from loving Jesus so much and wanting to be a servant and a disciple of his. And so he loved a lot and loves people a lot. And so that's just what my plan is to love people. And so, you know, throughout the years I've been in ministry, I've worked in different areas of ministry, helped launch a campus at the church that we were at for a really long time. And so that's also fun and challenging. And I just met a lot of great people and got to lead and guide over 100 volunteers in that position. I mean, it was outstanding to be able to be a servant leader. And that's something that's really important to me. I don't want to be someone that someone looks at and is like, oh, you know, she has it all together, but she's not helping anyone. No, I never want to look like that. You know, I want to be the person that's got their hands and feet dirty because I'm in there doing it too. And so just going and navigating through the different stages of life and, you know, being married to an amazing man that supports me through everything and having 2 wonderful children. And there's challenges, obviously, in all of that. But I'm going to tell you, it's just been a huge journey, a huge blessing in my journey to have the support and the prayers and the guidance. I've had a lot of great spiritual mothers and fathers in my life that have spoken into my life and helped me along the way. Even in those moments when I'm bawling my eyeballs out and I don't know which way to turn, you know, and it's like, okay, God, what am I doing here? And just trusting and being obedient to what he's called me to. And it looks a little different in every season, but just walking that path and reading the word and focusing on those things to get to where I am today to start a business. It's crazy.
Wow. It sounds like it's been a journey. Like that's the word that comes to mind. It sounds like it's been a journey. And so you've gone through this Absolutely. Journey. You have the support of your family. you've got, you know, God clearly guiding you towards this direction. So where does that land you in your business? What do you do in your business? What's your business called? You know, what's your like superpower that you're like helping folks with?
So let me just backtrack a little bit, because the way that we got to In the Light coaching is by way of the experience that I had in my life. So back in 2010, when I was actually finishing nursing school, I had already separated from my ex-husband, and he was very abusive, and there was a lot of things going on, had a drug problem. At this time, my son was about a year old, almost a year old, and it was just very traumatic experience. And so nursing school is difficult in and of itself. And then you have things on top of that where there's abuse and there's difficulties like that. And you're challenged with facing someone that has a drug, an addiction problem, and you didn't know in the beginning. And so you find yourself in this pivotal moment where you have to make a decision of, okay, is this what I'm going to fight for, or am I going to make better for myself and my son? And so I found myself making that decision. There's a lot to that story of what actually happened in 2010, the beginning, January of 2010. I actually went through 2 years of depositions and court trials with my ex-husband, and he's actually still in prison for a little while longer because of all the things that happened. And so by experiencing those traumas and those things that happened to me, God just really put me in positions and in places, and again, helping the one until he could get me to where I am today, where I will be helping multiple, many women overcome the pain of trauma and abuse. And that in and of itself is kind of a scary place to be, because I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing with that. And he goes, yes, you do. You know? And when you think, oh, I'm just going to help women. And then he gives you this just bomb and drops it on you and is like, yeah, you're going to help women that are overcoming trauma and abuse. And you're going to point them to me so they see their identity in me and not what happened to them. Whew. Okay. Mind blowing, right? And I'm like, wow, that's a heavy load. But here's the thing. Because of the things I've been through in my life, I know that God has equipped me. He has called me. He has given me everything that I need to help these women overcome the things that I have faced as well. And so being able to speak into their life and know what it's like to lay in bed and cry at night and not know what the next day holds, I can relate to that, and I can speak into that and tell them that there is light on the other side. He gave me the name. It's like so my logo has a bedrock with a lighthouse on it. He keeps reminding me of Matthew 5:16, go into all the world and shine your light so that others can see it, but to bring glory to God as well. And so there's just so many things that he just has shown me along the way to get me to here to help women overcome trauma and abuse.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. So basically, In the Light coaching, you coach women to overcome trauma and abuse by turning them to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay, so there's a lot of different directions we can take here, but one of the pieces that you mentioned that kind of struck me is you talked about this pivotal moment. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that pivotal moment.
So along with the trauma that I faced, I was in this moment physically where I had a decision to make. Was I going to allow these things to happen to me, or was I going to choose to come out of it and get to a place where God needed me to be? And I was in that place, and I just bowed my head and I said, Lord, and this is the first time in my life that I had ever fully known what it meant to surrender and submit to God and trust him with my life. And I said, God, if you get me out of this situation right now, I will totally give my life to you and serve you for the rest of my life. Now, that might look a little different for people. I've grown up in church. My grandpa's a preacher. I was saved at 6 years old. I was baptized a little later than that. But here's the thing. Whenever you've gone through things in your life and you've made decision after decision that takes you further and further away from God, and then you find yourself in a place where you're in a destructive situation, because the further you get away from God, it is destructive. And I just it was such a holy moment at that time. And I just completely surrendered. And after that, I was never the same, Patricia. I was never the same. And I have just made that. And it's a choice. That's what I want people to hear. You have to choose to go, nope, that's going to get changed in my brain. I'm not thinking that way anymore. I'm going in God's way, in his direction, and I'm going to trust him for what he has for my life.
Wow, that's so good. Okay, so I know we talked earlier. I don't know if this came up, but I had a moment, like the pivotal moment in my life is so similar to yours, where I just got to the end of my rope. I had made these really bad decisions. I was living with someone I shouldn't have, like all these, you know, things. And I just remember crying and just being like, what have I done? Like, what, how did I even get here? You know, you think you're so smart, you know, like you think you're making the best choices. And then you land there and like, how did I even get here? It was a mess. I was crying. And then out of nowhere, I almost audibly hear enough. And I was like, who, you know, like it was just this weirdest moment. But it's the same thing of like, okay, I've done this wrong. So I'm going to give my life to you and I'm going to follow everything that you do. And it's just amazing how there's so many people in this world, but God doesn't forget about a single one of them. And if you're willing to go into that pivotal moment, like he's going to be there for you. It's just so great. Oh my gosh. Right. Thank you for sharing that. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you go through this pivotal moment and, you know, there's you're nursing, you're moving through. At what point, like, do you get little glimpses that this coaching piece is going to come through over time? Or are you just kind of following the one step in front of you that God places? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So a lot of things contributed to my decision of life coaching. One of the biggest pieces I have a girlfriend. I have twin girlfriends that are really have been in my life for a really long time, over 20 years. And so the one sends me a, you know, an ad or something one day. And she's like, I could totally see you doing this. Now, to make a long story short, that person is actually in the community that was actually a part of the community that we're currently in. So we can tell that story another time. It's really, really cool.
So just for the listeners out there, both Bridget and I are in a mastermind of coaches. You never trust a coach who doesn't have a coach. And so we've got some coaches helping us through this process. And so that's the group that she's talking about.
That's great. So I just was like, wow, when that full circle moment came to be, I was like, this is incredible. So when I talked about people that have been spiritual mothers and fathers in my life, literally I've had people speak into my life that said, did you know that you're a teacher? And I'm like, teacher? No, I wouldn't say that. And, you know, but then there have been moments when someone has prophesied that over my life, if you will, and I just start bawling. And I'm like, anytime God has spoken into my life from someone that I trust and know, I just start crying because I know it's from him. And I'm an emotional person, so I get that, right? Like I accept that. I know it's going to happen if it's from the Lord. And so I just go with it. And so I have had just another person tell me, you're coming out of your cave. I don't know if you've ever done an Elijah study, but it is an incredible study. I did Priscilla Shire's Elijah study. And it just coincided with everything that I was dealing with earlier this year. And then towards the end of that study is where I found out about Life Surge. And I went to one of the events and just all of these things just culminated into what God is doing right now. And it is incredible. I love one of my prior pastors. He always says, never surprised, always amazed, because that's just what God does. It's just what he does. And yeah. And so it's just mind blowing that the things that I look back on now, and I have journals. I'm a huge journaler. I love writing things down. I probably have 20 around my house in my bedroom between my Jesus spot and my house and, you know, whatever. So I write all these things down, and just to look back on what people have spoken into my life, how people have prayed. I've even gone through a retreat to get freedom from the fear and things that I faced after the trauma that I dealt with for years. And so all of those things adding up, learning things from ministry, from nursing. I was a hospice nurse for 8 years. That is a you know, a huge part of knowing and trusting God when you're walking through with someone, that vulnerable stage in their life, when they're walking through that, and you are in some of the most critical moments of someone's life, when they are seeing the end, and you have to help them navigate that and just pray them through it. And it's just all of the things that add up to where God's like, okay, now you're ready to help people. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's a journey that we couldn't plan out ourselves, you know? And then just a little side note, okay, for those of you listening, my dear, dear friends, like, this is my sister from another mister, because when we talked, I don't know if you remember this, but she was like, oh, I've read the study of Elijah and it walked me through my journey and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? I'm reading through it right now. Like, I'm literally going through it. This is my second time now going through it. And we finished it like maybe a month ago, but I'm not going through each day. And like you said, taking each day as a week. So if you haven't picked it up yet, Priscilla Schreier, it's called Elijah. So great study. Anyhow, okay. So I really also like something else that you said that is so pivotal, especially in the journey that God takes us on. So a lot of times, you know, there's these moments where people just get a ministry from 0 to 60, right? But most of the time, God works in us bit by bit, bit by bit. And you said, you talked about that there was a season in your life when God was telling you that you are going to just be helping the one. So one person at a time. And, you know, from the experiences of people that I've worked with, that I've talked to, from my own experiences, a lot of times when you help the one, it's like a faith building process that you help one and you're like, oh God, you really worked in their life. And then you help another one. You're like, oh my gosh, God, did you just realize what you did? This is amazing. Like, did you have some of those stories or some of those faith moments that you knew this was what you were meant to do?
Yes, of course. I always have stories, Patricia. So I will hit back on one of my good friends. When I tell you that this woman has a cape that she hides in her closet, I mean, she's remarkable. And I tell her this all the time because she is an only child. When she was younger, she told me that her mother didn't really spend time with her, told her that she didn't want her. And then towards the end of her mother's life, her mother fought lung cancer for a long time. And I helped her through that process. But she was there for her mom. And she was there taking her to treatments, there by her side. You know, when she's vomiting, she's holding her hair. You know, those kind of moments. There for her mom, for someone that really wasn't there for her. She never knew her. She's never known her dad. And then she decided she wanted to go to nursing school. And she said, I want to do this, but I don't know how it's going to happen. And I said, Kelly will help you. And so she's a single mom, 3 kids. Okay. And so there was, and here's what I want people to hear. There is sacrifice that comes with the one, and there's sacrifice that comes with the thousands, 10,000s, millions. There are different.
Okay. Can you repeat that, please?
There are sacrifices that come with the one, and there are sacrifices that come with the hundreds, thousands, 10,000s, millions. There are different sacrifices. Okay. And so my husband and I, our family sacrificed for that period of time, about 18 months, to help my friend go to nursing school. She would drop her kids off here at 5 o'clock in the morning. We would take 5 children to 5 different schools on a school morning, about 4 to 5 days a week. Now, I'm not saying that to go, ooh, look at us, toot our horns, right? No.
You're so holy.
Right. No. No. You know, I would never want anyone to say that. Mm-hmm. And even when people asked us, like, hey, how are you doing this? How are you helping her? I didn't mm-hmm. ever even really want to talk about it, because then people are like, oh my gosh, you're so great. No, I'm not so great. This is just what God called me to do. And I'm being obedient and I'm walking in it. Because if I don't mm-hmm. help my friend, the one, how is she going to help the many that she's helping right now as a nurse, right?
So you were called to help the one. I think this is really cool. And I think it's something that a lot of people miss, is that we are called to help the one, just like you were called to help mm-hmm. her. But you said something important. You said so that she could help the many.
Yes.
So it's like this exponential formula, right? Yes. That if we work in our own strength, what we do may just end with that one person. But when God puts everything together, I always say he's a master chess player. Yeah. where like you help the one because they're going to help many. Mm-hmm. And there is going to be a time when someone helps you as the one and you're going to help many. Yes. So I just think that's really interesting how you said that.
Because, and you see it, you know, she'll tell me stories and I'm like, I love that because I know that by her becoming a nurse, it's that, well, I mean, a lot of people call it a ripple effect, but I don't even see it as that, you know, I just see it as being obedient and trusting God and just walking the path that I have so that it can help a lot of other people. And that's how I see mm-hmm. it.
I mean, just in that you can see how you helping your friend changed not only her legacy, but the legacy of so many people, especially those that she's coming in contact mm-hmm. with. That's cool.
Especially her children.
That's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Okay. Well, I love that story. So anytime God moves folks, I feel like there's always God stories. Mm-hmm. And I mean God stories in the sense now, I guess, switching gears in the sense of your story. Like how has God played things out in your story? Maybe at the brink of deciding like, do I take this leap of faith or mm-hmm. do I just kind of stay in my comfort zone?
So there's been many times, especially as a nurse, you know, that people were like, how did you, let's start here. I don't know if I can make it through nursing school. And I kind of chuckle and I say, no, I really think you can. Because when I was finishing nursing school, I was dealing with a broken marriage, an abusive ex-husband, drug problems from him. I had a newborn. I started nursing school when my son was 3.5 months old. And so.
Oh my gosh, yeah. 3.5.
Yeah, woo. I'm a little bit crazy, guys. Okay. That's why Jesus is like, yeah, pick that girl. She's going to do it. She's crazy.
She'll do anything I put in front of her.
And so, you know, when people come to me and they say, I don't know if I can do this, I love taking them and going, okay, let me explain just a few things to you and why I believe you can do this. And so while it's very challenging and it is very strenuous program, I know that people can do it. And anything that we put our minds to, that's that renewing of our mind, right? When we have the right perspective and we go, no, I'm going to fight through this because I know God has so much more for me on the other side of this. Whenever we take those moments and we make the decision that we're going to fight through it and we're going to do what God has called us to do, things, like you just said, God's kingdom is exponential. We can't even fathom the things that he's doing in and through us when we get through what we're going through, right? And so when we get to the other side of that, it's just remarkable. And so, you know, I've shared my story. I've done a God story at my church that I was going to. They recorded my husband and I did a God story. And I had people reaching out to me that I didn't know. And they're like, thank you so much for sharing this, because if you didn't share this, this gave me a voice, you know, and that's the thing. We do the things that God calls us to do. We do it afraid sometimes. It was scary to sit in the pews and see my face up on the screen. That was like, whoo, overwhelming, you know, and then to have the one person come and say, thank you for doing that. It doesn't have to be many. The one person that's affected by that can then, again, go out and help the other people that they come in contact with. So that's what we focus on. We don't focus about how big it can get. The greatness and the vastness belongs to God. So if we just focus on the one person, the one moment, the one thing, and we allow God to work in and through us, then he will create the vastness and the greatness as he does.
Gosh, that's so good. I absolutely love it. And so as you're talking about that, I'm just thinking there are, you know, especially if it's unprocessed, there's lots of like residual, mm-hmm. whether it's patterns, behaviors, thought mindsets and stuff that'll eventually hinder you. And it's like the enemy's way of stopping you from doing what God has called you to do. And so as a coach, yeah. Now we're kind of like turning the boat a little bit and really focusing on your coaching. So like as a coach, as someone who works with folks who have experienced trauma, what is the – like is there a process that you recommend folks go through or that you might walk them through or a framework or like what comes first, second, third type of deal? Like how does that work?
So I have, when I, especially when I do one-on-ones, I have them fill out a client intake form. And so I like to see what their mindset is as far as their five top things they want to work on. And a lot of times sandwiched in those five things are things dealing with their identity. They don't feel pretty enough. They don't feel smart enough. They don't feel like they deserve anything. I always find it sandwiched in there. And so I'll key in, maybe it may not be number one, because maybe they put one and two as something they think is going to be worked on. But then number three is like, I don't feel good about myself. Okay, well, we're going to start with number three.
The identity.
Because yes, because if we don't focus on our identity and whose we are and who we belong to, then nothing else that we change is going to matter, because then you're going to revert back to that thing or that person that affected you in a way that was negative. And so we have to change the perspective on how you see yourself to see yourself the way that God sees you, as called and chosen and anointed and appointed, all of the things. He chose us and adopted us into his family. And because I'm dealing with women, we are daughters of the King. And so I have to go that direction always, because we have such a stigma in society that women are supposed to look a certain way and act a certain way and be a certain way. Well, that's just not true. We're called to be who God called us to be. And so until we see our identity in Christ and in him fully and completely, then we can't go forth and change the other things that we're trying to work on to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah, it all comes out of identity. And I love what you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like, the world tells us we're supposed to look a certain way. And sometimes I think we have to challenge our belief system, especially as believers, as Christians. Mm-hmm. The world tells you you're supposed to look a certain way, but do you believe the world or do you believe your creator? Like, your creator made your nose the way it is, your hair the way it is, right, your eyes the way they are, your personality the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so by trying to make yourself into the world, what the world wants you to be, like, are you actually telling God that he didn't do a good job? Like, that's pretty bold, sister, right? Like, you know, but we've all done it. Like, right. I've done it too, where I'm like, oh, I wish I had curly hair. Like, your curly hair, I love it, right? Mm-hmm. But what God has taught me is like, hey, so you know what you do? You appreciate and you love and you say, hey, look at how beautiful Coach Bridget is with her beautiful curly hair, but look at how beautiful I am with my straight brunette hair. You know what I mean? So God made us all different for a reason, for sure. Okay, so continuing on with the conversation. So how can I say this? So as I coach through helping people like with career transitions and life transitions and things like that, inevitably, like, because of who I am and the fact that I've gone through trauma and like that whole story gives part of my strength, I feel like people tend to come who also have had traumatic situations. And so for our listeners, mm-hmm. I'm curious what your thoughts would be on someone who's trying to make a major transition in their life, but they have some unprocessed trauma. Mm-hmm. Like, what comes first? Is it that mm-hmm. if God calls them to this transition, okay, let me run head first? Is it best to, right? And I guess it's almost obvious what the answer is, but like, why is it important that women process trauma before they make a major transition?
Okay, so this is something that I've walked through myself. So along with the trauma that I faced was fear, and fear can be a root issue. It can just dig itself down into the soil of your heart and it can just grow there and grow there and grow there. And so out of that fear, I was reacting and responding in ways that were unhealthy. And until I realized that fear was the cause of a lot of my decisions, and then I had to walk through freedom. And so I encourage people to go through some kind of processing that would be heavier than what I would offer. So as a coach, I'm here to encourage and to help you see that you're not what happened to you, but your identity is found in Christ. So if we're on that term, then that's a good place to be, right? But for me, I have those nursing abilities to be able to assess and go, this is a lot more serious than what I can handle. And so I would make sure that I referred them to someone that can help them process those root issues in a way that finds freedom for them. And of course, Christ is our true freedom, our ultimate hope, but we have to do it in a way where someone is trained through that process. And so there are trained trauma coaches. There are trained, you know, people that go through it spiritually as well. I went through a retreat in January of 2020 that helped me to find freedom from the fear that I faced. And so I would recommend going through something like that, because otherwise you're just going to continue to run from whatever is gripping you. And so, yeah, you could dive headfirst into that calling that you feel like God is putting in your path. However, you may get in and the fear or trauma or whatever you've faced is then curbing the decisions that you make in that new role. And it could be detrimental because you haven't overcome things that you're still running from your past.
And that's so important to call out. So what you're saying is, hey, if you've got unprocessed trauma that is impacting your day-to-day decisions and behaviors, because I think it's different for each of us. Some of us, the residual like behaviors and mentality and things are, you know, very low level and quote unquote, we might be like high functioning or whatever. But, you know, trauma affects us in different ways. And there are situations in which, hey, like this is PTSD, like, you know, there's different traumatic situations that are best fit for counselors and you want to process that.
Sure.
But here's the reason why coaching is so important. Tell me your thoughts on this, but like coaching is so important because even after we process that trauma, these patterns, they didn't develop over a day. They developed over years and years and years. And so it's kind of like that scripture, you know, that talks about like we always have to be watchful. We have to be vigilant because until the day we meet Jesus, the enemy is going to be crouching, just waiting to devour us, right? And so it's figuring out like, let me work with a coach to take on, like in this case, Coach Bridget, to take on this, whatever this new adventure is or whatever I'm going to be doing or just in life to manage life even after you've processed that trauma. Because sometimes we think, oh, I went to a counselor for 6 months. Now I'm perfect, you know, like, but that's not really true. So what are some of the things that you have helped women to move through, overcome, or achieve through your coaching?
Yeah, sure. So, and you know, you just speaking about overcoming and then you feel like you're good. Well, that's where the community comes into play. Because when you get into a community of women that have gone through what you've gone through, then you can bounce ideas off of them. You can encourage one another. You can, you know, I'll be doing live Q&A sessions in my coaching community. And so they can jump in there and say, you know, I've really been wrestling with this for the last day, 2 weeks, you know, whatever it is. How do I handle that? And so by us jumping in and just focusing on what God says, focusing on scripture, praying with one another, prayer is such a vital thing in our walk with Christ that we, you know, sometimes we talk about it and think about it.
Oh my goodness. And yes.
And so just getting in a community of believers where we can all just be in there together. And I just love that I'm able to provide just a place to land where they don't feel alone, because there were so many times when I felt alone, like no one really understands, like, you know, oh yeah, this person went through this, but they didn't go through what I went through. You know, they didn't almost lose their life. They didn't, you know, all these things. But in reality, trauma is trauma, period. And we've all had some form of something that has affected us one way or another. And so to be in a community that can help just build one another up and point each other to Christ and shine a light in the darkness, because darkness cannot overcome the light. And so I just want it to be a place where people are loved and they see the light of Jesus. And that's my awesome. Ultimate goal.
And this is where life happens, you know, like in these groups, especially of like-minded believers. It's rare to find groups where you can say, okay, everyone in my group is supportive. They're all believers. And we all have this common life experience that we can share vulnerably and kind of just be ourselves. Just shoot, wear some pajamas, whatever. You know, it's hard to find those communities. But it's nice to know that, that within the light coaching, you've got that built in already for folks. So before we wrap up, And I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but if you were to summarize any encouragement or any advice that you want to share with someone who's about to take, whether it's a leap of faith, a career change, start a new business, start a new ministry, like what would you encourage them with?
Oh, trusting, just trusting. It's so hard to do that, but it is. It's so important. That's how we walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that's a trust factor. And so if you have difficulty trusting what the word says, trusting what God is pointing you toward, then I would encourage you to talk to someone about that because he is trustworthy. He is faithful. He will see you through the things that you're facing. And so trust and obedience, that has been one of the biggest things. I used to hear, people used to say, oh, I just want to figure out a way to balance my life. And I wrote this on a note card like years ago. It's trust and surrender. That's how you get to balance. You trust and surrender. It's not up to us to balance our lives and what's going on with them. It's just trusting God that he's going to take care of it because he's ultimately in control. And so if we just trust him and know that he's going to show us step by step which way to go. In Psalm 119:105, it says, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He is the word. The word lives in us because we house the Holy Spirit. And so if we house him, then he will light up our path and he'll show us which direction to take.
Gosh, Bridget, that is so good, especially because as you were talking, you mentioned surrender and just everything that you're saying reminds me of Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, where it says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And it basically just talks about how we, you know, try to be busy, try to do what society expects of us. But the real way to live a life well lived, like you said, is in surrender and in trust. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Gosh. Okay. So we have been together for a good amount of time. I'm so excited that you were able to share so much with our community. And so tell us one more time a little bit about In the Light Coaching, where we can find you, your social media handles, all that good stuff.
Yes. So most of my socials are at In the Light Coach. My website is inthelightcoach.live. I like to say it as live because I'm living for Jesus, right? So
I love that.
Yes, but you can find me there. I have a podcast as well. So you can find me at Today's Talk for Your Walk with Bridget Lynch on any podcast platform. And just go to my socials and go, you know, to my website and you'll find out all that information. So I'm so thankful to be here and thank you for letting me share.
Absolutely, Bridget. It was a blast talking with you. Well, friends, we are all wrapped up now. So remember that I love you. I'm praying for you and I'll see you on the next one. Hey, friend, thanks for listening. You're now done with the first step towards becoming a part of the Uncommon Career Community. And that is to listen to this podcast. So, woohoo, congratulations. Your next step is to head over to theuncommoncareer.com and request my 5-step strategy to literally change your mindset by systematically busting through all those mental messages. I'm talking about those lifelong lies that make so many Christians like you and I completely ineffective in our calling. I use this when insecurity and negative mindsets were really getting me down and stopping me from taking that leap of faith I knew God was calling me to. This works so well for me every single time, and I know it's going to work for you too. So again, before you forget, head over to theuncommoncareer.com, grab your 5-step strategy, and I'll see you there.